You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to the Massive Report podcast. This is not the way we envisioned doing this. Or maybe you guys did. Maybe you just didn't want to be in the same room with me. But
we kind of used to do that before.
I know. Well, I'm shocked because I'm not technically proficient at all. And I'm shocked I was able to get this to work. And I'm glad to be on with you all, even if it is virtually. It was only 8 days ago that we were together at the Point Tavern. I got to be honest with you. It seems like it was like 3 years ago. So much has happened. How are you guys doing? Everybody feeling good?
No complaints.
I mean, just could be worse.
Yeah. Could be worse.
Yeah, it's okay.
Pretty good. I just don't think the coronavirus. So
probably. Right. Alex Stanek is here. Patrick Murphy, Ori Benatar, and Sam Fahmy. I'm Brian Phillips from CD1025. You know what? I want to talk about something that has nothing to do with any of this stuff first, because when we left off, we were concerned about Milton Valenzuela. And then just before things got really serious, I read words that involved knee surgery, and I became very concerned. What do we know about the status of his knee? Obviously, he's going to have a lot more time to recover from whatever problems he has, but still, it's a concern when the team comes back and starts playing again. What do we know?
Milton hurt his meniscus, and which, I mean, for people who haven't had knee injuries, that's one of the more minor things you can do to the knee. You know, the ACL, PCL, MCL are the bigger ones, but you know, still, as Brian mentioned, he did have to have a minor procedure, which is basically just a scope. They go in there and clean it up. Caleb said when we talked to him, I think it was last Tuesday, like you said, it feels like a month ago, that they expected him to be out, you know, roughly 2 weeks, that you know, he'd missed the Salt Lake game, the Nashville game, then the team had a bye week, and he was expected probably to be back after that, fitness and everything, you know, allowing. But you know, I've heard anything from other people I've talked to that sometimes it's a 4 week injury, sometimes, you know, just depending on what they have to do when they get in there. So it's probably the best case scenario given what we saw, that, you know, he goes down with the same knee that he hurt last year that obviously cost him the season, and he comes back onto the field after they looked at him, but has to go out at halftime of that Seattle Sounders game. So, you know, it was apparent that something was wrong. At the very least, they were being precautionary, and as it turns out, there was. So, you know, he was set to miss some time, and the crew have some depth at that position. Obviously, we saw Chris Cadden against Seattle come in and play on the left hand side, which was, I would say, somewhat successful. He looked fine, you know, not obviously his natural side. They also have Waylon Francis, who himself is coming back from the injury he suffered in the preseason, major. But you know, he was, you know, had they played the game against Salt Lake City, would have been last Saturday, it would have been kind of a fitness race for Waylon, whether or not he would have been ready to go for, you know, 50, 60 minutes, enough to start him anyway. So, you know, we're obviously up in the air in terms of when this team gets back on the field, but, you know, it looked like Milton was going to at least miss two games, if not maybe a little bit longer, but he wasn't going to be out long-term.
Well, that's good news. What do we know about what the club is doing training-wise? Obviously, we're in a situation that none of us have ever lived through, and it seems that the rules, the recommendations change almost from hour to hour. Do we know, is the club training together? Are the guys just separated off into small groups? What are we doing?
No, they're not training. They stopped, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they stopped last Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday, I think it was when all the announcement stuff come out. And yeah, you know, they originally were going to be on a hiatus till Sunday, and then pushed it back even further. And, you know, I think it's just a weird situation. We just, you know, like everything else right now, we don't know when things are going to come back. You know, they just, everybody wants to be cautious. Obviously there was a, you know, someone who worked for the Sounders that contracted the coronavirus. There's expected to be no, you know, contagious people within the rest of the organization or with the crew, but we don't really know a ton about this disease right now.
We don't know. And I, you know, being a Northwest native and having many friends still in Seattle, former colleagues in radio that I've been talking to, it's that city is locked down. I mean, really, the crew Seattle game was just before they brought the barricade down, really. And people are confined to their homes at this point in the Seattle area. And we don't know. And I don't like we just hope everybody's okay. I think obviously they took the precautions that they could take. I think this is a smart thing to do. I've been thinking a lot about baseball season, and they've been talking about, well, and Alex, you have your tribe head on. They've been talking a lot about starting the season in May, June, and I'm thinking, well, we're going to have to start over with spring training again. You have to stretch out the pitchers all over again. And I have a feeling, fellas, that it's kind of the same thing with MLS. We can't just start the season again in mid-June or whatever it is and expect guys who haven't been even training together to be match fit. And then you're just talking about all kinds of injury concerns from that. Have we heard anything from the league? I imagine they have no idea what to do at this point. I wouldn't expect them to, but has there been any speculation about that? Anybody can speak to that?
I mean, I think when you just kind of look at what everybody's talking about, whether it's the business community or whether it's, you know, people in the news talking, government officials, sports owners, whoever, nobody really knows. There are so many possible variables in this whole situation that predicting out any further than, you know, the middle of April seems almost impossible. You know, if some of these medical experts are correct and this doesn't really peak until the middle of May, I can't imagine that we're starting to play again in June. I mean, I think what we're seeing right now is really just the very beginning of something that's going to be a long, drawn out, horrible process, not only in the United States, but around the world. And so, I mean, I think if we're getting back to like normal life by July or August, I'm going to be feeling pretty lucky. But, you know, then you run in again to the fall where, you know, if you look back to other pandemics that involve viruses, they typically get worse again. So, you know, we might have normal life in August and then, you know, September, October rolls around and we have a huge spike in coronavirus cases again. Nobody really knows. I don't think that we should try to, you know, even worry about that so much for the time being. But this could unfortunately be a long drawn out process. The most important thing is that, you know, over the next couple months, we really manage it well. People stay inside and we can kind of, you know, everybody says flatten the curve, but really, truly, I mean, it's so important that we don't overwhelm the medical system. And, you know, there are enough hospital beds for whoever does get it. And hopefully we can all get through this.
Well, I know, Alex, you've already figured it all out. You have the video games to play until the year 2025.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Nintendo Switch is hooked up to the TV. You know, we've all got, you know, Netflix or Hulu or something. And if you don't, you probably know somebody who, you know, you're sharing an account with or whatever. It's not the worst time for something like this to happen, I'd say. So hopefully we can all kind of just do the right thing and try to make sure, you know, even if we, you know, ourselves are not in much danger, we certainly don't want to spread it to someone who would be in some danger. So would just suggest everybody, you know, stay inside as much as possible. I myself have not walked out the front door of my apartment at all since Friday. I've been living off Amazon packages, and I open the door, grab the package, shut the door again.
That amazes me. Like yesterday, I just had to go. I had to go for a bike ride. I took the dog for a walk. Just like, I'm not interacting with anyone. Like I just today I went for a run. I hate running. I just needed to do something besides. And maybe it's because I sit in my house most days anyway. But I'm amazed. Just, you know, my normal days. You know, if this were a normal day, you know, a normal Tuesday for me would have been, there would have been Ohio State football interviews. I would have gone to crew practice at least, you know, at points this week, you know, stuff like that where I'm not even gone for very long, but just, I don't know. It's been weird because I do spend a lot of time at home and, you know, it's kind of the norm for me working from home. And I had friends over the weekend ask me like, how do you handle, you know, what do you do when you're to make sure you stay productive and things like that. But it has been weird just adjusting to really not doing anything else when I'm used to, you know, being able to go to the gym if I want to in the middle of the day or, you know, go out and get something to eat just to kind of change things up for an hour or so. I'll be interested to see in a month or so, Alex, if you're still going stir crazy a little bit.
No, I think he'll be just as happy as a clam.
Yeah, well, I mean, I might go stir crazy. The thing that keeps popping into my head throughout all of this is that, you know, we are truly living through history in a way that, you know, I don't think that we can say in many other cases. I mean, I know that, you know, people will remember September 11th forever, you know, but that's living through history in a really kind of bad way. I think we have an opportunity here to live through history in a good way, or at least in as not bad of a way as possible. I mean, I think we've got enough information from the medical community now that we know what we need to do in order to save lives. And I think each of us can kind of look back on this a year or 2 years from now and say, you know what, I did my part. Nothing in my lifetime has really given me that feeling, that kind of taking one for the team, taking one for my community and, you know, for my country and for the global community. So it presents an interesting opportunity. I definitely wanted to go out. I love running out and grabbing a cup of coffee. I go to the same sushi restaurant every single weekend. Akihana, by the way, guys, the best sushi in town, as far as I'm concerned. So it's been different, but it's important. I'm going to do my best to stick to it. I know not everybody can kind of be that rigid with things, but I stocked up on food last week and I've got enough for a while now, and everything I don't have, I'm getting through Amazon. And, you know, I've got multiple packages arriving tomorrow and package on Friday and Saturday. So it's just going to keep, we're just going to
write a book.
Huh?
You should write a book. You should write a book about this, Alex. You seem to have it all figured out.
People will be even less interested in the book than they are in my takes. So I think that'd be a bad idea. Sell two copies and both would come from family members.
All right. Well, you got to have something to do. You're going to run out of video games. Yeah, I've been, you know, we have two dogs and my big thing every day is walking them. And I figure I'm not going to do anybody any harm here in the neighborhood walking my dogs. So I do that. I go to the station. I do my show. There's just a skeleton crew at the station, so we're able to maintain the social distancing. There's also a bar upstairs, and it's closed. So, you know, our fearless leader, Randy Malloy, has been today for St. Patrick's Day. We toasted one another after I got off the air with some Jameson. We had to have some sort of sense of normalcy with all this. So it is. It is something that I get to do that I look forward to anyway every day. And that's, you know, I go to the station, I do my show, and I come home. That's what I do. So and at some point, I think they're going to tell us that we can't even do that. But I'm feeling fine, so I guess I'll just go with my three colleagues, and we'll keep the radio station on the air. That's what we're going
to do. Brian, how much does that change for people that don't know what your normal day's like? How much does that change? You know, how much are you at the station normally as opposed to being at home? How much does that change for you?
It's not terribly different because we've really, the people that can work from home have already gone home. The salespeople can work out of the house. It's basically on-air people, when they need to come in and do their thing, they come in. So there's no more than like five people in the building. Like we had four today, five and then four. And that was it. You know, we can do a lot of stuff remotely. The program director lives down the street. So if it comes to that, he can keep the place on the air. So we're just sort of figuring it out as we go along. I feel like, and this is true of any radio station, we're really important to keep the public informed and keep people hopefully entertained. I try, but I look at it as like comfort food, you know? And people tell me that. They go, it's good to hear you guys on, just because it's something from your routine that you recognize. And I think that's important to people. And I'm not going to go on the air every break and give people the litany of things that they can't do anymore. But, you know, it's like what we're doing here. We're hanging out, but we're not together, but we're hanging out. And that's when radio is done right, it's one-on-one. People feel connected. So that's what we're trying to do, basically.
Yeah. I mean, especially in these kind of times where, you know, when you mentioned something like 9/11, you know, that was probably the most significant historical event that has happened in this millennium until this coronavirus pandemic, where every single person in the United States and in the globe can affect history by taking the right measures of staying at home, quarantining themselves, washing their hands, being wary of what they touch, and all of that kind of stuff. But you know, usually when we have those tough moments in you know, history, like 9/11 or Hurricane Katrina, you know, earthquakes, natural disasters, mass shootings, we usually have sports as an escape from that. And now that escape has been taken away from us for the correct precautions and reasons. So having radio, having television shows and movies and video games and all that kind of stuff, but also just, you know, online hangouts with your buddies and your family just to see how they're doing and all that good stuff, you know, is more important than ever right now, because this is a situation that literally has never happened before in humanity.
Well, the historical corollary that is at least now most everybody's gone from that era. There are a few people that were maybe babies then, but it's the influenza pandemic of 1918.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what historians tell us about that and how they really made a lot of the mistakes that we've made as far as not getting away from each other soon enough. So you can certainly read up on that. That's the tightest corollary. And obviously, you know, there were other factors going on, a world war, the fact that, you know, sanitation and medical technology and nutrition and all those things that we don't even think about anymore. They were definitely way cruder back then. And that no doubt led to the numbers of people who perished. It was just sort of a perfect storm. So I think our odds are better, and I think we know what to do. And I think we're getting our heads around it slowly, but surely anyway.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, 9/11, I was on the radio when that happened. I was describing it as it happened and trying to get my head around what was going on as I was seeing it on TV. And I have the tape somewhere. I've never listened to it because it's too upsetting, but I have it. But even then I remember, you know, President Bush telling baseball, okay, I want you guys to finish the season. I want you to play games, telling the NFL, I want you to play, telling all the sports leagues, all right, let's get back to it. People need a sense of normalcy, and we don't have that outlet. And it sounds silly, but whatever it is, and people who aren't sports fans, they have their own things in their lives that just those things, those touchstones that give them meaning and connect them to other people. And so it is sort of rewiring American society is what we're doing. We're sort of rewiring our social connections on the fly.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, at least we have the technology to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're in a situation where we really have to like say thank you for technology, because if technology wasn't at the stage it was in 2020 compared to what it was even 10 years ago, or, you know, 15 years ago, parents would not be able to conduct most of their business at home and work from home and still, you know, earn a paycheck, you know, especially parents with kids, you know, their children can learn from home. So they're continuing their education, because all these colleges and high schools and elementary schools are continuing that online learning. We have, you know, millions of sites and places to order food online and medical supplies and things that we need. So, you know, technology is really going to help us through this pandemic, because when you're sitting at home and you need something to get, but you really can't go outside to a grocery store, you can just order something, get it delivered, or you can try and find something online to keep yourself entertained. And you can continue to sort of conduct your day-to-day normal life in a way by working or having, you know, the kids do their work at home for school. So if technology wasn't where it is at now, this would be a completely different story, and it would be probably also a lot worse, just in terms of not going insane sitting in your own house for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out how Ohio State's setup works next week. I got two daughters that are Ohio State students. One is going to graduate here and not go through graduation, which she is really bummed out about. She's worked her tail off, but they've canceled that. I have a freshman as well, and they're going to jump back in next week and try to finish the year. But you're right. I mean, at least we have this technology to be able to do that, and it's not perfect, but it's the best we can do at this point. So, all right.
We've mentioned a couple times just, you know, sports being that outlet. And the one thing I keep telling myself is, you know, once this, you know, hopefully this is cleared up enough by, you know, midsummer, whatnot, where we'll have sports back. We could potentially have a June, July, August like we've never seen before.
Oh yeah.
With you know, I mean, specifically for most of our listeners with MLS coming back, but, you know, European soccer is going to try and finish leagues. A lot of leagues have talked about trying to finish. So we could get that during the summer. You know, if you're an NBA, NHL person, you know, it may not be the regular season or the regular playoffs, but they have plans, or they're trying to come up with plans to finish, you know, something come the summer if, you know, health allows us to. So, you know, I keep telling myself that while we don't have that right now, we could have a summer that might just be pretty awesome in terms of the sports calendar. You know, usually you get into kind of the middle of the summer, and this year we would have had the Euros. But you get in the middle of the baseball season, the middle of the MLS season, and there's not a ton more going on. So yeah, trying to look on the bright side of things, at least there's the potential for something like that if things go as some hope they will.
Yeah, I mean, usually the mid-July period is when sports kind of, you know, has died down. The NBA Finals just finished. The Stanley Cup Finals just finished. You're basically just in the middle of baseball season. When you have All-Star Weekend in the MLB, that is literally almost the only thing going on, unless you're someone like me who follows like the Tour de France or the British Open or some other random international soccer tournament that you might enjoy. But also for 2021, you know, I always say odd numbered years are always less sports years because you don't have an Olympics and you don't have like a really big time major international soccer tournament. Yes, but in 2021, we're going to have the Euros now, the Copa America, the Gold Cup, I think the Africa Cup of Nations as well. So that's
a great tournament.
That could throw a wrench, though, in the MLS season for 2021, because you're going to potentially have four major international tournaments happening next summer. And you're going to have players from MLS and every other league that's playing in June, July, and August lose a good amount of their players. So I think the 2021 season for the Crew and MLS is going to have a big effect with both Gold Cup and Copa America, especially going on at the same time.
Well, and it almost feels like the Olympics are going to get postponed as well.
So yeah, maybe. Probably.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And that certainly has a huge soccer component to it as well. So we can speculate all we want, and we miss all this stuff. And so I guess we got to have something to talk about. I'll throw this out there. I read this tweet, and forgive me, I don't remember what band this guy was in, but he was in a band that played the Warped Tour. If you remember the Warped Tour, the punk rock traveling tour that I believe is now a thing of the past. But he said that on days when they got rained out, they would go into the bus and put NHL hockey on their PlayStation and put both teams in computer mode and then bet on the games. So if you're looking for a little sweat, looking for a little action, I thought that was a kind of a fun idea.
Yeah,
so, I mean, get out your FIFA game and pit the crew against somebody and throw your money down, see how it turns out.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think that video game, in terms for sports fans who need that, you know, find a game, find something to bet on or something, video games is probably your best outlet if you want to have a surprising outcome. Because, like, we can all go and watch old crew highlights or old NBA highlights and whatnot, but, like, playing a video game or just having the crew win 12-0 against New York City or the Red Bulls or something, you know, to keep yourself entertained. So that's why I personally think that video games is going to be a big business during this pandemic that can help a lot of people get through it if you're that type of person that likes to play sports video games or just any video games in general, because it has that form of entertainment and something that has an outcome that you're not expecting.
That sounds like a good post for massivereport.com, a write-up on sports video games to keep you from going completely mad. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we have some listener tweets, some questions that we want to answer, including one of our cast members' favorite seltzer flavor that somebody wants to know about for some reason. So we'll be right back on this edition of the Massive Report podcast. Welcome back to the Massive Report podcast. You know, Sam, if we could be behind the scenes here as we are on a chat, I'm looking at my phone and Sam's supposed to give me a cue. And for some reason, I had Alex sitting on his couch drooling over which video game he's going to play next. So that was not a pleasant sight.
And Wendy's breakfast.
And Wendy's breakfast, which I hear is delicious. You guys are making me hungry.
Can confirm.
I have to drive through tomorrow.
Hey, Alex, is Wendy's breakfast going 24 hours?
No.
Oh, dang it.
No? What time can I get that?
Till 10:30 in the morning.
Thank you for that information, Alex. I do appreciate it.
Yep.
It sounds delicious. All right, Patrick, thank you for putting out the call for questions and comments on Twitter, at Massive Report. Keith Nas, thank you very much for your question about how radio stations are handling that. I feel like we more than covered that earlier in the episode. Brandon, thank you. He says, stay safe, y'all. Miss you. What's the latest on the USL side is his first question. Who wants to speak to that?
I don't think we've had much new on that. The plan originally was to hopefully have something here in the coming year or so. I think it will kind of depend when they have everything done construction-wise. And that was all before this epidemic, obviously. You know, now there's going to be questions about does the new downtown stadium get finished in time and does Mapfre Stadium get converted in time and stuff like that. So that may push back any plan for a USL team, but it's definitely something that they are exploring, that they're very interested in. It's, from my understanding, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of getting everything, kind of your ducks in a row. You know, not only do you need a place for these guys to play, but you need a full team. You know, the reserve guys, so to speak, from the crew would obviously benefit from that. Academy kids can sign and play on that, but you also need other guys to fill an entire roster. So, you know, if you go and look at, say, Red Bulls 2, for instance, there are guys that are signed specifically to Red Bulls 2, not just guys that move back and forth from the first team. So there's a lot that goes into it. And then you obviously have to pick league and get involved in that. And I'm sure there's a whole process that I don't even know about there. So it's definitely on the agenda for the crew. I can't imagine at this point, though, that it's priority number one. I think you want, obviously, to get back playing games. The whole league does. And then you worry about, you know, finishing the stadium and all that stuff. And then that's probably one of the things down the line, I would imagine.
How much of an advantage, and you mentioned Red Bulls too, so we'll look at them. How much of an advantage is it to have that USL affiliate parked in your city playing matches at least close by? There are other examples as well. In baseball, the Tribe, not far away from the Columbus Clippers. It's got to be a tremendous advantage for a club like Red Bulls when injuries occur, or do they train together? How does that all work?
I think they do from time to time. They at least play in a similar way. You know, it's all hierarchied. And so, you know, when you do bring a guy that's been playing with the second team up, at least in the case of the Red Bulls, and I believe most of the teams are that way that have a specific style of play, and obviously the crew would be that way. They're ready. And you mentioned injured players, similar to baseball. You know, you can have a guy go get some minutes with your team without, you know, having to play him in a game against college kids that they, those scrimmages they have sometimes, or sometimes, you know, depending on the time of season, they don't have that. So I also think it's big for development. You look at some of the teams that do have USL programs. You see, you know, we'll just use the Red Bull example again. Guys like Matt Miazga, Aaron Long, Tyler Adams all came up through. So I think most of them, two of the three of them came up through the Red Bull Academy, but they all got, you know, good minutes when they were younger as Red Bull 2 players and then worked their way onto the first team. So it's definitely an advantage to have that option. And I think the crew have realized that and are moving in that direction.
Sounds good. Hydro Lettuce wrote in about the GCG bag, but I don't really feel comfortable answering questions about their operation without Bart. I haven't seen Bart since last season in a beer line at Moffray Stadium back when we could go out and be together. So we certainly miss you, Bart. We hope you're okay. Does anyone know if Bart's okay?
Bart's okay. Bart is very busy with his day job. This coronavirus is, it's been an interesting experience for a lot of us, but I think Bart especially has got a lot on his plate right now with that. So he'll be back before too long, I'm sure.
Well, it's hard to believe that Bart has a friend named Hydro Lettuce. I didn't see that coming. Christopher Tabb asks, what are you fellas doing on St. Paddy's Day? Well, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it, right?
Unless
somebody has plans that I don't know about.
Absolutely not. Social distancing, seeing no one for any reason, and not spreading this god-awful virus to anyone else.
Maybe I'll put the Irish national team on FIFA as my celebration.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Hey, let me tell you a story about St. Patrick's Day in Ireland, because I've spent it twice in Dublin. A, the parade is amazing. And I'm not a parade person, but it's the parade of parades. Speaking specifically of the beautiful game, I was getting ready to go out for an evening in Dublin. And I flipped on, Sun Sports or Sky Sports, which is in the UK and in Ireland. And they were showing the Irish Premier League. And I was stunned at how small the stadiums were. And it was really not a big deal. And then I got into my cab to go out for the night. And I asked the cabbie, I go, hey, I was just watching the Irish Premiership on TV. Didn't seem like it was that big a deal. And he goes, our league is crap. All the good players go to England. And that was the end of that conversation. They're much more into. He's not. No. I'll tell you what, it will blow your mind is, rugby is huge in Ireland. And in March, they have the, I want to say it's the Six Nations Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I went into a pub, like a huge bar. It was like a sports bar. And Ireland was playing. The place was packed. I don't understand rugby at all. And I'm standing there with a Guinness in one hand and something else in the other. Starts with a J, ends with an N. And I was too embarrassed to ask anyone to explain the game of rugby to me because I felt like that would be like interrupting an Ohio State bowl game or something. So I just stood there like an idiot trying to figure out what was going on. But it was really cool. I mean, people were really into it. But they really – soccer is not a big deal in Ireland. And I didn't know that until I was standing there.
Yeah, Ireland's there. Also got their own two big sports. There's hurling.
Yes. Which
is like extreme field hockey on like a soccer field is probably the best way to describe that. A little bit of a mix of soccer, lacrosse, and field hockey. And then they have something called Gaelic football, which yes. Imagine playing soccer and rugby and football together with a soccer goal that has a field goal post on top of it, like in some high schools around the U.S. And you can kick it through the field goal and in the goal. It's like the most amazing thing ever. It is well worth checking out Gaelic football and hurling highlights.
There you go. And you've never seen these sports, so they'll be new to you when you fire them up on YouTube. But I think when you spend some time in Ireland, you realize that, you know, that they've really, their culture in terms of sports has definitely diverged from the rest of the British Isles. And they very much have their own proud sports culture. So while they do have professional soccer, I don't even know what to equate it to. It's definitely not even MLS level. It's below that.
It is below MLS level, yes.
And the cab driver was just like, ah, why are you watching that? I don't know. I was curious. You know, you want to see something funny? Watch British professional hockey. I saw that in a bar when I was over there, too. That's really bad. That's like sub-high school hockey. So anyway, that's how we're spending St. Patrick's Day. Let's see. We have a question here. What do MR pod members sing to ensure proper hand washing? There are songs going around. There's a 20-second hook. You sing it while you wash your hands. Does anybody have a go-to song?
Maybe something like We All Cheer for the Yellow Soccer Team.
Is that 20 seconds?
I mean, if you count how many times they repeat that, I believe you can get 20 seconds out of it.
I believe Africa is one. The chorus from Africa, I believe, is one.
Okay.
Brian, you said last week that you can't do it, right? Because you get mad at yourself. Because
I can't remember the lyrics. But I've become very obsessive. So now I'm singing Achilles Last Stand by Led Zeppelin, which is 11 plus minutes from the Presence album. So my hands are so dry, but they're clean.
I don't do the singing thing. I just basically make sure I get my hand washing in. I saw the CDC video on on hand washing techniques. So you get every area of your hands, you know, you go over the top with the knuckles, you do the thumbs, you go in, you like scratch the palm of your hand with your fingernails to get the fingernails. But it also reminds me of, I remember back when I was a kid, there were commercials for those toothbrushes that would play songs to make sure that kids brush their teeth for 2 minutes. One of them was a Kiss toothbrush that played Rock and Roll All Night, Party Every Day, 2 minutes, so the kids brush their teeth for exactly.
I want that. I wonder if there's still some around, obviously not used, but
I don't think they're automatic toothbrushes, though. I think they're manual. They just have the recorder by the handle. So electric toothbrushes, man.
Well, let's be honest here, because men are disgusting. I've always been a hand washer. My grandmother drilled that into my head. You know, as many pills as she liked to pop, she was very fastidious, and that's a whole other story. But you know, she was on me from the moment I can remember to wash my hands. So I do thank her for that. But we've all been to sporting events. We've all been to crew games and blue jacket games where most of the guys don't. If they wash their hands at all, they're just dipping their fingers in the water, and that's it. It's disgusting. So come clean. Who has become a new hand washer?
Definitely not me. I think that statement, I think the way you said that statement, it's not like, oh, I'm a Sagittarius. Oh, I'm a Taurus. It's not you're a hand washer or you're not a hand washer. Everyone should just know how to, should just wash their hands.
You've seen it. You've seen it.
I was not a 20-second hand wash by any stretch of the imagination. I am now, although I'm also a recent convert to the whole hand sanitizer thing, which I would never use under any circumstances.
60% or better.
Not using it a lot, but I mean, I've had Purell on my desk for like the last 3 weeks, and anytime I stand up and I go anywhere and I touch anything, it's, you know, Purell. So in addition to that, it's just like, oh, I just shook this person's hand. I'm washing my hands now. Never.
I can't remember the last hand I shook, and I'm a handshaker. I can't remember, you know, when we go back to crew games, we can't high five our neighbors anymore. And we've all randomly high five people. We can't do that. So
hopefully at that point, things will be at a point where,
oh, I'm never high fiving anyone again.
Yeah, I mean, having that good personal hygiene is important, but obviously we're so used to the human interactions of a high five, a pat on the back, a handshake, and that will be very interesting to see how people react to it when, you know, this hopefully starts to cool off in the coming months. You know, how many people are just going to be like, nope, I'm never shaking a hand again. I'm never high-fiving a person again. I'm just keeping my hands to myself for the rest of my life.
No, the bros are always going to high-five. They're going to do the double high-five. That's never going to change. But me, I'm out. No more high-fiving.
We should adopt Maguire Canseco, Bash Brothers, you know, just bash forearms.
There you go. See, they were on to something. All the roids they were taking, they were on to something.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, when everybody kind of cleared out, and I'm working from home right now. My office and my day job is shut down. When we all cleared out on Friday, we all did kind of elbow bumps with everybody. And I actually prefer that to handshaking. It's a more kind of personal, it's like a better mix of kind of casual and still personal than the handshake, which is like a very kind of stuffy thing in a lot of ways. Whereas you can just kind of casually eat someone that, you know, just kind of elbow bump them while you're leaving.
There's also such a, there's all this form, you know, your dad teaches you, or, you know, your brother. Here's how you shake someone's hand properly. Like, there's a proper way to shake someone's hand. You want a firm grip, get everything.
Yeah, can you have a firm elbow bump?
Yeah, but like the only bad elbow bump is if you're like, hey, what's up? And then you just elbow the guy in the face and break his teeth.
But so like, every single person was smiling when we were doing that, when we were all leaving. It was a very nice, nice little moment. And so, yeah, highly recommend the elbow bump. We should keep it even after coronavirus. It should just be the new handshake.
I'm with you there. I'm elbow bump for life now. Bash brother for life. I'll start taking droids too.
Handshaking is going to be considered a hate crime. That's what's going to happen. It's like, how dare you? How dare you shake my hand? What are you trying to kill me?
You know, so, who's a big handshaker? Eh? Caleb Porter. Caleb Porter's a big handshaker.
I shook his hand when I met him.
Every day at practice, he comes up, handshake. Solid.
Yeah, good I one. Mean, yeah. I'm with. I was taught how to do a proper handshake. You know, so we're just going to have to forget about it. Oh, well, on that note, do we have anything else? Are we going to do this again?
That is the question. I think we definitely won't do weekly, just because we don't have enough to talk about unless something drastically changes here in the next week or so. But I think if people enjoyed this, if they want us to do, you know, maybe in a couple weeks or so, just to kind of give people something to listen to, let us know. I think if we get feedback that this was a positive experience for everyone and whatnot, we know it's not the most conducive to do it online, but we're trying to, you know, be healthy and practice the social distancing. So if people liked it, let us know. You can let us know on Twitter, on our Facebook page. You know, all of that. So give us some feedback on this, and you know, if it helps to help people get through this time, I think we're happy to do it. I think we all enjoy chatting for an hour or so, you know, every once in a while.
And I know that we've been discussing within our Slack chat all these ideas we're trying to have down the pipeline for content, whether it's, you know, FIFA stuff or a game called Football Manager, which we might have something planned for, or just crew history or brackets or what kind of stuff. we're going to try, you know, and Pat and I have discussed this and other people around the Slack chat as well. You know, we're going to try and keep everything as alive as possible. We're not just going to be like, there's no games, we can't do anything. There's a lot of content out there. This is the toughest period for sports journalists since probably World War II. No games. It's very hard to come up with content, but, you know, we still need to find that escape and find a way, especially for Crew fans, to continue, you know, experiencing the team we love in so many different, you know, areas and ways to keep people engaged and distracted during this global crisis, I think it's fair to say.
I think what we should do is we should find every soccer movie, soccer documentary on Netflix in once a week, cue one of those up, and tell everybody else at home, like, when to start, and then just give our dumb takes about this thing, Mystery Science Theater style, through the entirety of whatever it is, and then call it.
That's an idea. There's some great soccer 30 for 30s out there that are well worth a watch.
Oh, see, I'm thinking it's got to be much worse than a 30 for 30. I'm thinking probably worse. Bend it like Beckham, if we can.
Oh God!
On there,
that can like, we like Kevin? Like, can we like MST3K something like Shaolin Soccer or something?
Shaolin Soccer, I remember that movie.
Like, giving it the Mystery Science Theater treatment would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's got to be terrible.
Back in the day, didn't Pele and Stallone, weren't they in a soccer movie together?
They
had
were.
A war theme. What was that?
I'm trying to remember what it was called.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Prisoners of war, and they formed a soccer team and played against their captors.
One sec, I've seen this movie before. My dad
recommended. That sounds like the plot of The Longest Yard.
So there's a Netflix series called 21 Thunder that's got like a knockoff Montreal Impact team as their kind of logo, their movie poster thing. It says, players and coaches for a Montreal soccer team chase dreams of stardom while their personal lives erupt with love, fear, passion, and violence. So that's an option.
And you guys sounds like the actual Montreal Impact.
The episodes are 43 minutes long, so we could, in theory, do one episode a week. and there's eight episodes in the season, so we could do... That covers us for 2 months right there, guys.
Yeah.
Well, and if you want the name of the movie, it's called Escape to Victory, about basically Allied That's prisoners right. of war who play yeah. soccer. Stallone is in it, Pele is in it, and also Michael Caine is in it. Oh. And Max von Sydow as well.
It's another...
But now late Max von Sydow, yes.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Have any of you guys ever watched the British soap opera Dream Team?
No. I think I've heard of it.
It's a soap opera based on
horrible.
A fictional soccer team, and they compete. I believe it starts in the first season, and they're in what is now the championship. Uh-huh. And but they splice these players into real games. So you see them, you see them actually playing in real games. And I remember it used to be on like Fox Soccer Channel or whatever it was called back in the day. I watched one season and it's terrible, but it's entertaining. And you do actually get to see some like classic, players and stuff competing against these actors who clearly have no idea what they're doing. But
the real question
and plot lines.
The real question is how many people in that show are pulling John Terry's, and how many, you know, people are cheating on their players' wives or whatever and all that kind of stuff in Dream
Team. It happens a lot.
I had a feeling. So it's basically a documentary on John Terry's life.
There's got to be a good documentary about the infamous Pete Best out there somewhere. I don't know. Anybody know anything about that? I'm too old for you guys. You don't understand what I'm saying.
I know you're talking George Best, right?
Georgie Best. Oh, I'm thinking of the Beatles drummer. Yeah.
It helps if you get the name right, Brian.
Yeah,
put the mirror down there, Brian.
There is a George Best 30 for 30. I've seen it a couple of times.
Is it good?
Very well made. It's a very sad story, though. But
I know it is. Story. It is.
He was one of the best players ever that really, you know, is not remembered for being one of the greatest ever, but his career was definitely cut short because of alcoholism and a lot of other
problems. There's great video of him in the North American Soccer League still with late in his career with just search Georgie Best NASL. You'll see some good video. I mean, the guy had tremendous skill. He was such a gifted player. Sorry about the Pete Best thing. I'm surrounded by all my albums here, so all right, fellas, I guess we'll wrap it up at that with my Pete Best gaffe. I'm glad I could give you all a laugh. We need a laugh, so I'm glad to give you one. It was great to chat, and as always, please stay connected. Massport at Massport Twitter is a great way to do that, and we want to hear from you. We got to stick together. If find good crew game video on YouTube. That is a great way to spend your time. You never know what you're going to find out there. So go on a deep dive on YouTube. Let us know what you find. That'll give us something else to talk about. All right. Sam, thank you so much for setting this up. You're a technical guru for Ori, for Patrick, for Alex. I'm Brian. Thanks for listening. Let's stick together. And before too long, we'll be back together at Mockery Stadium celebrating our Columbus crew. Until not too far in the future, we'll have another Master Report podcast for you. Thanks for listening.